Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is a Faith and Family Friday edition of Sound Insight. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm going to be reflecting on a book that I rediscovered. It's a book called Homo Viator. Yes, you've heard me say that phrase before, but this is actually a collection of essays by a Catholic philosopher. He's a type of existentialist. Okay, there you go. And he wrote some profound things about living with authentic personality and family and fatherhood. We're going to discuss those things today. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you today. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and we thank you and praise you for all the ways that you love us and take care of us and bless our lives. Lord, we know that we need you. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to welcome all the blessings that you have in store for us. Give us the grace, Lord, to be willing to be led into greater blessings, into an inheritance of blessings. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your providential care for our lives. And we thank you for the ways that you use us and bless us for the sake of others. We make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I had something really cool happen. This was unexpected, and it was a neat gift, and I didn't even connect these two things. I got up for prayer on, I think it was Tuesday morning, and instead of me just going to the Liturgy of the Hours and in journaling and praying quietly, I ended up making some coffee, and I noticed that Carrie had unpacked boxes of books that normally would have been in a place that I wouldn't have like walked past, or maybe even they were just packed away in boxes back in Spokane Valley where we were living. But now that we're here in the Boise area, these books are in a bookshelf that's visible to me, and I get to see it every day because it's near the kitchen. And I just felt something, this little nudge that said, take a book. And I love when that happens because it's like a treasure hunt. And I know that, several hundred books that are there, most of them are mine and most of them I've read. And I've really only kept the ones that have been meaningful in my life. That's not true all the way, but in a lot of ways. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to read? And all of a sudden I saw this book by Gabriel Marcel. And I hesitated for a moment because his writings are very dense. It's not like fun reading. It's not popcorn reading. You have to be ready to read a sentence or two, stop, like, okay, did I just rush over those words? Let me ponder it again. And then let me come back and let me see if I can understand what he's saying. And that's in translation. That's translating from the original French. And I felt drawn to him, to this particular book, in part because of an essay that was inside of it. The essay inside of it is called The Mystery of Fatherhood. And The Creative Vow of Fatherhood. And that all by itself is such a striking title. Like how many of you have ever heard a talk or read a book on the creative vow of fatherhood? It's just not that common of an idea. But something had jumped out to me. It was a real nugget. It was like a piece of gold. And I share this insight with you because it's so important in our life of faith. His nugget in there that I remember was that the certainty that you seek in order to make a vow is often or only found as a result of making the vow. The clarity that you seek, the confidence that you know that you're making the right decision, you want to have that, right, in big deal things, what you desire before you make the leap only or most often comes as a result of making the leap. It's the reality of making a commitment and committing oneself, because that's what he means by a vow. And I'm going to come back around to this idea of committing oneself. That's a big deal. It's in committing oneself that we realize, we become real, we become fulfilled in our own sense of identity. These are all Gabriel Marcel ideas. But that one is so helpful. I remember talking to my brother about it, my older brother, who was discerning marriage, and he was discerning it with this woman, and he said, you know, I'm 99% sure that I'm called to marry her, but I'm just leaving just a crack in the door just in case God wants to step in and say I'm making a mistake. And I shared with him that line, that Gabriel Marcel line. I'm not sure it made a big difference, but I think it was something that I think it can bring great comfort, honestly, if you stop and reflect on it, because there are so many times in our lives where we are called upon to make really big decisions, decisions that can have not just a meaningful impact, but life-changing impact on our lives. And what do we want? We want certainty. But the certainty that we're seeking, honestly, is more associated with control. The certainty that we seek is really much more associated with a kind of mastery or dominance, a kind of stepping apart and looking at something and saying, yeah, I'm certain as I look at that thing, and so now I can engage. Gabriel Marcel is saying, no, the realities of marriage, family, and fatherhood, there's a dimension of mystery involved. And that dimension of mystery is that you're getting immersed into something that's bigger than you. And as you get immersed in something that's bigger than you, you're not going to have the kind of, let's call it scientific, analytical clarity that is appropriate for other types of topics, other types of realities that are in our lives. You want to be sure you're putting the right kind of gasoline in your car, or the right kind of oil in your engine. You want to be sure that you're turning and going down the right road. You know, those are factual things. Those are things that are concrete and in the world. No, these are personal, relational realities. And so today in the program, I'm going to share with you one of the beautiful fruits that came from my being drawn to that book by Gabriel Marcel, in which the creative vow of fatherhood or something like that, whatever the exact name of that essay was. So I grabbed the book and I had to smile because I forgot that the name of the book that it was in, I actually recognized it from the cover, was called Homo Viator. Homo Viator, you hear me talk about that, and you've heard me talk about that quite a bit in the last year as I've walked the Camino, right? The Camino is this journey, and who's making a journey in a Catholic full sense of the term? A pilgrim. A pilgrim is someone who's living life on the way. And that's what Homo Viator means. It means one who is on the way. So who is on the way? Well, we, all of us, are on the way. Well, in this set of essays, what Gabriel Marcel does is he brings out into the open various facets of what it means to live life on the way. One of his key aspects is that the person who lives on the way is a person who lives in hope. And lives in hope means that they have confidence that the one who has launched us on the way is going to be faithful to us during our time of being in the way, on the way, along the way, until we arrive back at the end of our journey. So he is, in a certain sense, one of the most profound Catholic authors on the virtue of hope, that theological virtue, about having confidence. In fact, what he does is he personalizes confidence in this book on Homo Viator, which is, I think it's subtitled, On a Metaphysic and Phenomenology of Hope. There you go. There's a great subtitle to draw in lots of readers. So he writes with great profundity about the nature of hope in a relational way. And if you grew up in sort of the Baltimore Catechism and understanding hope in a more traditional way, it would be you hope in the promises of God. You hope in the promises of God, that God is going to bring to fulfillment the promises that he has made. So our hope is in eternal life. That's a promise that God has made for us. Gabriel Marcel, he flips it. He flips it around, and it might sound the same, but it's fundamentally different. And it's instead of saying, I hope in the promises of God, it's, I hope in the God who has made me promises. Did you get that? Stop and think about that. Hoping in promises is like hoping in statements. Statements that we want to acknowledge as true and we want to use as a building block for how we desire to live. Not a bad thing. But hoping in the God who makes promises? Do you see how fundamental, how relational that is? It shows that we, in fact, were made for relationships. We were made to be in concrete relationships with the living God. In fact, Gabriel Marcel, in this book, Homo Viator, he talks about the reality of personality. And this is where I'm going today. I'm going to share with you some of the insights that he had to say about the nature of personality. I referenced it actually quite briefly in my interview, in my conversation with Sister Mary Eucharista. If you missed it, go to the Dr. Tom podcast or mycatholicfaith.org and you'll enjoy just a wonderful conversation with Sister Mary Eucharista earlier this week. And that was the day that I had read this book, and I've been reading it throughout the rest of this week, just enjoying it immensely. It's like it's rediscovering a wonderful meal. It's a book I had first discovered in the late 80s, and I'd come back to it every several years to refresh these insights that Gabriel Marcel has, and I hadn't read it in probably, I don't know, 5 years. So it's like reading it again. I don't know if I'm just getting so old that I forget things. I think what Gabriel Marcel would say, well, no, you're a different person having lived the last 5 years that you've lived. So now that you'll come to these rich truths, you'll be able to see into them more deeply, and these truths will be able to take root in you more deeply. Isn't that what a beautiful idea all by itself? The truths of our faith aren't just living in our minds as facts that we can recall, we can regurgitate if we're asked about them. That's not a bad thing, but that's not the ultimate meaning of the truths of our faith. The ultimate meaning of the truths of our faith, they are going to be incarnated in our lives. They're going to take root in our lives. They're going to blossom forth in how we live our lives, in our conduct, and they will lead us back to God. By the way, that's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about the truths of our faith. What is revealed by God gets communicated by the Lord. It takes root in our lives. It blossoms forth in the way that we live our lives in accord with the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, and then that dynamically leads us back to the Lord in prayer. Those are the four pillars of the Catechism. Okay, all of this to say, I had a phone call later that day that was utterly relevant to what I had read that morning. I wasn't thinking about that phone call later that when I picked the book. I wasn't thinking about that phone call when I was reading Gabriel Marcel, but it all came flooding back, and I had to smile at the gift of God's providence. The gift of the love that the Lord had, because the beautiful truths that I'm going to share with you now and unfold with you here, and some of the things that I've just shared with you before, were truths that came rushing to the forefront in this 11 in the morning phone call that I had on my calendar, but I wasn't thinking about. Well, what was this phone call? Well, this was a phone call. Actually, you know what? I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about the phone call, and I'm going to link it to Gabriel Marcel and to see how his writings touched my life that morning, used by God to bless this young lady who reached out to me at 11 in the morning later that day as a beautiful surprise. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's so good to be with you today. I'm sharing with you a story of a serendipity, an unexpected surprise of a gift that came out into the open last Tuesday. I mentioned to you that I felt this little draw to the bookshelf, ended up picking off the book Homo Viator by Gabriel Marcel, sat down and did some what's called mental prayer by St. Teresa of Avila. I did some spiritual reading and used it as a basis for my journaling and my prayer that day. And then later that morning, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from a missionary who is part of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And as part of FOCUS, one of the responsibilities that a missionary has, the missionaries are typically making, I believe it's a two-year commitment, they have to raise a certain level of funding that will be able to help them meet their monthly expenses. And so this particular FOCUS missionary, he had reached out to me, set this time, and called me up. I frankly had forgotten. And all of a sudden, she calls. And maybe I had a little twinkle in my eye to be a little bit clever, but she called and she says, "Hey, I'm calling you, about FOCUS." And I just stopped her. I said, "Hey, do you love Jesus?" And I was just going to keep it really short. "Do you love Jesus? Do you want to serve him? Great. Let me give you a monthly commitment," right? I was going to keep it super short and simple, honestly. And she ended up saying, "Well, yeah, but let me tell you my story. Let me give you my witness." And I'm thinking, all right, I don't want to go through the typical spiel, right? I don't need to go through the typical rigmarole about her testimony about loving Jesus and how she felt called and what FOCUS will do and what are the benefits of giving. And none of those things are bad, right? But I wanted to disrupt that. Just wanted to graciously disrupt that and have a different kind of conversation. So I just said, "Stop." I said, "All right, fine. But I said, "Tell me, what did Jesus say to you in prayer today? What did Jesus say to you in prayer today?" And she said, "I think I'm going to cry." I'm like, "Oh, here I am making this woman in her, early 20s, mid 20s, start crying." And it wasn't me. It was her recalling what the Lord was communicating to her and inviting her into in her prayer time. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but she said that she was going through a particularly difficult time in her life associated with a family situation and a personal relationship situation. And it was really hard. That it was a time of real suffering and difficulty, and it was hard to continue walking day to day in the midst of this pain. And I said, "I'm really sorry that that's happened," and just said, and she said, "The Lord wants to comfort her." Matthew chapter 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who labor." And I said, "Can I share a couple of things with you?" And I brought up, guess what? What had been spoken to me through Gabriel Marcel and his in one of his very first essays in his book Homo Viator, which was Ego and Its Implications. There you go. Again, not going to be a bestseller with that kind of title. But in that particular, in the early section of that chapter, in that essay, he talked about the way that personality is not a given. It's not a fact like a fire hydrant or a rock or a tree or a car or a can of soda, a can of sparkling water. Those are all like physical, factual realities that are right there in front of you. For him, personality is the fruit of the recognition that you live your life on the way, that you as a person are living your life on a journey. And when you're walking this path, when you're on this journey, one of the things that happens to you is that you get drawn out of yourself, and he uses the word here, engagement. You get drawn out of yourself and you're called to engage with those that are around you or with the situation that's unfolding in front of you. And what he says then is that will lead you to a sense of being together with or community. And it's through that engagement of the self-giving, the giving of oneself as a gift. Did you hear that language? The giving of oneself as a gift in that engagement that you form community. And that community that is formed manifests reality. Which, what a striking word. What he's saying is that you aren't realizing, you aren't making real the personality of your very being, the person that you are, just simply by waking up and just saying, well, here I am. I'm a person and I have a personality, a thing. Gabriel Marcel is drawing out these features. He refers to himself as a concrete philosopher. A concrete philosopher. And by that, he is contrasting himself with a tendency towards rationalism, towards an over-intellectualizing and making of abstract, like disembodied, certain ideas that we then say, yep, that's me. I'm described by that fact, that fact, that fact, and that fact. And those are the things that make up my personality. He was saying, no. We are far more unique than that. And he talks about discovering the uniqueness, the irreplaceability, which he then identifies as the image of God quality that each of us has. And now remember, he had a big influence on St. John Paul II. And if you've heard me talk about St. John Paul II, you hear how his theology of the body is rooted in his theology of the person, and the person is gift. The person is gift. The person, all that they are, all that they have, is a gift from God. And what are they called to do? That's their identity. They're called to be a gift. Who you are is a gift. You're called to be a gift. And this is Gabriel Marcel. You are called to recognize. He actually uses this vocation. He words that word vocat, that you are one who is addressed. You've been addressed. And that being addressed is the invitation to engage. And the question is, will you display the fundamental feature, the foundational quality that will launch you into personality and the realization of personhood? And what is that feature? It's availability. Radical availability. Disponibilité in French. It's the radical docility to the Holy Spirit that St. John Paul II talks about. Are you radically available, docile, willing to be led, willing to come out of yourself, and willing to be drawn into relationship with others? That's the challenge of personhood. That's the challenge of personality. And so I'm unfolding this these ideas for you, in a, obviously in a fuller way than I did on that phone call with this woman, young lady, and this young adult. And I just started sharing with her. I said that, are you open to be willing, are you available to be led by the Lord into a place of healing, into a place of discovering that sense that you're this gift? And what she ended up saying was, I really struggle with identity issues. Who am I? Because for her, she was mentioning, and this is not like uncommon, it's easy to find our sense of identity in what other people say to us, how other people have treated us, the home we were brought up in, and the things that happened to us, things that we've done that that cling on to us and for which we feel ashamed and feel like, can we ever be forgiven? And so those are things that chain us to our past and hold us back. All of these things, call them identity issues. And she was struggling with that. And by the way, I'm going to do a quick side shout out because it's important. If you have identity issues, and by the way, if you're not raising your hand saying, he's talking to me, if you don't realize the degree to which your sense of self, your sense of self-worth, your sense of who am I, has elements to it that could be cleansed and broken free from and healed from and advanced and developed, then there's likely, not guaranteed, but there's likely a need to grow in self-awareness. But I want to share with you that beginning tonight and continuing this weekend is the intensive, the summer intensive for the Encounter School of Ministry happening at Holy Family Catholic Church in Kirkland. So if you're listening and you're in the Puget Sound area and you would like to experience a breakthrough, a divine breakthrough where the Lord breaks in, breaks open, and is able to perform a spiritual surgery to begin to cleanse and dislodge and set free aspects of your life that are holding back a profound sense of who you are in Christ, your identity in the eyes of the Lord. Please get to the Encounter School of Ministry. There's this intensive weekend. I interviewed Danielle Curl about it a while ago. We've replayed the interview. Really want to encourage you. It is an anointed movement of God. It is anointed. The Lord is doing mighty things through Encounter. And there's this intensive weekend. Again, get to tonight. If you can just get to tonight, get to tonight. Holy Family in Kirkland. I think it opens at 6. You can register. You can be part of the, again, beautiful praise and worship music that'll help cleanse the mind and heart and the spirit and prepare you to receive a powerful message about your sense of identity, and then help you be prayed with to be able to experience the ministering of God's power in your life. And then if you can, you'll be able to stick around for tomorrow as well. Huge gift. Maybe, in fact, that's another reason why this, I'm talking what I'm talking about today, that the Lord had me bring up Gabriel Marcel's book, talk to that young lady, and then talk about it with you today. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, identity issues? That's the first message that's part of the Encounter School of Ministry. And so again, it's at Holy Family Catholic Church in Kirkland, and it starts this evening. Please get there if you can. Okay, enough of that side note. Let me come back around. She said she had identity issues. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to share with you briefly about Pope St. Paul VI and what he wrote in Ecclesiam Suam. I've talked about this before in Sound Insight over the last 20 years. It is a truly underappreciated encyclical in the power and importance of the journey of the individual in their spiritual lives, but of the church in the world. And I quickly shared with her the three paths of the church that Pope Paul lays out. And the first path of the church is the path we take towards the face of Christ. We seek his face. That's the first path that we're called to walk. Do you want to be the church in the world? Do you want to be the church that is salt, light, and leaven in the world? Do you want to be a part of the church that's the body of Christ active in this world? The first path you must walk, the first step, is to seek his face, to seek the face of Jesus, to look him in the eyes. Why? Paul the Sixth says, because we'll discover our authentic, our truest, our deepest identity, who I am, who we are, what the church is found in the mind of Christ. How do I access the mind of Christ? By looking him in the eyes with love. I will look him in the eyes with love, and as I gaze upon him, he will begin to unveil to me who I am to him. Do you want your life to change? Sincerely, I mean this. Make this your prayer. Go to adoration. Go to a church where there's a tabernacle. And just say, and then, or if you can't, read the scriptures. Jesus, who am I to you? Who am I to you? Reveal to me who I am in your eyes. And when he does that, it will begin to wash over you, soak into you, and begin to sever from the core of your being those false sense of identity, those false identities that cling to us, that we carry around with us. And we can begin to live in the freedom and the fullness of who we really are in God. So that's the first path. That's the path of quiet prayer and asking the Lord, who am I to you? It'll change your life. Okay, that's the first path. What's the second path? Well, the second path is, as I gaze upon the face of Christ and as the Lord begins to share with me who I am in his eyes, well, that begins to create a stark contrast. And the stark contrast is between what? Well, between who I am in his eyes and who I am in reality. Because who I am in reality is not fully conforming to who I am in his eyes. I'm not living in the fullness, the truth of my deepest identity. And so that reality that I need to conform more fully to who I am in his eyes, that is a very fundamental path to walk. It's the path of conversion and renewal. The path of penance and reformation. And so that's the second path that Paul VI identifies. The first path is towards Christ. The second path is this interior dialogue where I'm going to become transformed more fully into the one the Lord intends me to be. And this is where I had a chance to share with this young lady, this focused missionary on the phone, that so often we understand the process of growth and holiness in a too much of a human project or problem type mentality. Here's a problem that has to be overcome. Here's a project that has to be built out. Here is a type of growth and achievement that will come through practice and improvement. And I said, no, in our tradition, growth and holiness is much more, and first of all, or more fundamentally, the act of removal, the process of removing the things that are hiding our deepest identity, who we really already are in Christ. That's the process of ablatio. It's the process that is proleptic. Right, you've heard me say these words before. Didn't make this stuff up. This is Saint John Paul II. This is Pope Benedict the 16th. That whole tradition, it's Bonaventure, it's the process of removal, right? It's the sculpting idea, right? The sculptor does not make the statue, he removes what hid it. And Jesus is the great sculptor who is chiseling away the things that are holding back the masterpiece that we already are in his sight. And so it's something that I was encouraging her to say, look, the Lord, I want to give you a scriptural image for what he wants to do in your life. And I'll tell you that scriptural image in a minute because I'm up against a break. Back in a minute with more of the program. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. I'm sharing with you this serendipitous, providential connection that the Lord made between a book that I pulled off the shelf in the morning and a phone call I had later in the day. And for me, it's just how much God loves us. God loves us so much that he does things for us that he delights to do. He delights to do. And he delights to do it for you. Because you're unique in his sight. You're precious in his sight. You're a wonder. You're a wonder of God's creation. And I don't think we always appreciate that sense of uniqueness. I think we often just do we look at all the ways that we're the same as others. So fascinating. I was talking about this with Carrie yesterday morning after prayer time. We were just talking, and one of the things that she shared, she said, you know, I was reflecting on just how unique each person is. And she said, I wonder if, like she said, I started to realize, like, for instance, how unique each person's laugh is. Their laugh. And I thought, that is so true. And then she said, their signature, the way that they write, their handwriting, it's so unique. There's a one-of-a-kind quality to it. She had like 5 different features of uniqueness that I'd never really thought about before. But she just put them right out there. And I thought it was so cool, the way she was able to just so quickly identify these features that are part of like our own physicality, our incarnated life as a human being, that manifest that dignity that is ours, that singular quality that's ours. And so let's come back around. I was talking with this young lady and focus. Yeah, let's just say this wasn't the way that the conversation was planned, right? This wasn't what we had thought, oh, this is how it's going to go. No, it was the hand of the Lord. It was a divine appointment. It was the Lord wanting this young lady to experience a kind of care and ministry that she was seeking for in her prayer that morning and ended up receiving unexpectedly as a beautiful gift in this phone call. And I was bringing it to her out of what I had read in my own prayer time that morning. I love that. Come on. Isn't that the way you want to live your life? Isn't that what we want to do with our lives, is be available? There's that word again, that Gabriel Marcel word. Be radically available to be led into the conversations and situations that will glorify the Lord, that will be a blessing to others, right? That's what's available to us. That's what I want. I believe that's what you want as well. So I mentioned there was a scripture. I said, look, there's a scripture that will help you pray into this proleptic process of removal quality that is associated with growth and holiness. And it was John 11. And sure enough, it was what, 2 days ago, and or the day before? No, actually, I think it was that day. It was Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary, it was the feast of Martha, Mary, and Elizabeth, and Lazarus. And the reading was from John 11, which was the raising. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And I said, there's a part that happens after that that didn't come out in that scripture. I said, what happened to Lazarus after he was raised from the dead? Lazarus come out. Is that the end of the story? No, there's one other action. What was the action? It was when Jesus said to those around Lazarus, unbind him and let him go free. I've already shared with you in my reflection on scriptures that have changed my life and they can change your life. This was one of them. John 11:44. Unbind him and let him go free. And I had a chance to share how I was led into that scripture when I was 19 years old in the seminary, my first year. I was part of a young adult prayer group, and the priest that was there gave me the gift of an icon of Lazarus, all bound up, all wrapped up, kind of like a mummy. He was raised from the dead. He was out of the tomb. He was standing there, and there were two angels that were unwinding the bandages, the burial wrapping, the burial cloths. And I shared with her a bit about burial cloths and how he would have had to stood still and allow himself to be unbound and set free. And I said, that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. She was going to be going to adoration later that day. And I said, beautiful gift. Here it is. I encourage you to go into that time of adoration and say, not only, Lord, who am I to you? And allow the Lord to just wash over and reveal to you who you are in his eyes, right? That first path, but also that second path, right? What's that second path? That path of the process of removal and the process of reformation, reforming, to say, Lord, unbind me and let me go free. Unbind me and let me go free. And I shared with her that I prayed with that icon and that scripture every day for at least 6 months. It was probably longer, honestly. It was through the majority of my freshman, my first year in the seminary, which was my junior year in college. And I just would pray for an hour, and I would just gaze upon, I would read the scripture, gazing upon the icon, and I would sit quietly. I would have music, just like a Taizé chant in the background. And it was really about my attempt to just allow the Lord to unbind me and let me go free. And I shared with her the fruits of doing that. The fruits of doing that were sort of like, by analogy, like a spiritual operation. It's like I was quiet, I was still, and the Lord was able to do a secret work of unbinding me, of things that I didn't even know were bound up, of areas of my life that were bound up that I wasn't aware of. But the Lord knew. He knew exactly where to unbind me, how to unbind me, and yes, he did unbind me. So I would come away from that time of prayer over time, freed up. I became freed up from things like an overarching fear that if I didn't perform, if I didn't do good things, if I wasn't living a virtuous, godly life, that I was not loved by the Lord. I had to earn God's love. I had to somehow deserve God's love. I had to somehow figure out God's love. No, none of that. It was about allowing the Lord to simply love me for who I am in his sight. And I began to trust him more. I was able to let go of mistrust. I was able to allow him to come closer in a more intimate way within me, in my heart. I was able to have a sense of letting go of a sense of self-disgust. That's a strong phrase. Self-hatred. a sense of shame and self-disgust and a harshness with myself. And that manifested itself in a strong spirit of sarcasm, very sarcastic, quick-witted sarcasm to others that was very hurtful. Little did I realize how much it was traced back to this shame-filled disgust with myself. But the Lord washed over it, washed over it, washed over it, and began to reveal to me how He affirmed me as this creation and as this new creation that was good and that was called into a share in divine life as a child of God. And as that soaked into the core of my being, I became more affirming of myself, celebratory, not in a self-centered way, but in a way that was authentic. There was an authentic kind of self-love. Honestly, this is Gabriel Marcel again. How? Well, I'll actually tell you in a minute. I'm up against another break. But when we come back, I'll get to the third path that I shared with this young lady on the call and continue to unfold some beautiful truths from Gabriel Marcel in his book, Homo Viator. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's so great to be with you today. As you know, I'm sharing with you these insights that I got from I'm just sharing with you a testimony, a story about what happened during a surprising phone call. And it was scheduled, but what was surprising was the direction that it went. In fact, the phone call became kind of like a spiritual direction. That's how she ended up sharing about it later on at the end. She's like, yeah, you know, she was bringing up stuff that she had talked about with their spiritual director, and these were sort of helpful insights. And I was like, wow, God must really love you, because some of these things came from Gabriel Marcel that I just read this morning in you know, out of time, out of step way. And that's just, again, a truth that we should know, that the things that are happening in our lives, they're for us, but the Lord also does them for the sake of others, for the sake of us fulfilling our call. And that actually is the third step, the third path the church is called to walk, which is a dialogue of salvation. The dialogue of salvation is the proclamation of the gospel. And I was literally witnessing to this dialogue of salvation, where I was having a dialogue with this young lady and helping her to discover or recover in a fresh new way truths of the faith that she had known but were obscured in her life precisely because of the identity issues that was holding her back. And so this was like a wonderful gift that she received that morning. I was so grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to have the conversation. I love that. Like, that's what I want my life to be about. If my life could involve calls like that every day, count me in. I want in on that. And so I mentioned that this third path is about being a witness. Gabriel Marcel, he talks about this. He talks about the fact that we will not be witnesses to truths that are simply truths that are like objective facts. The truths that we are witness to are the truths that are incarnated in our lives. These are the truths that make all the difference. These are the truths that we then radiate, kind of like, again, you've been hearing in the readings on Sunday and even this week, how Moses' face, he radiated because he was immersed in a relationship with the Lord in prayer, and then it radiated from his face. One of the ways that this shows up in Gabriel Marcel's writings is he says that you will know nothing about the true nature of something if you do not love it. And here he's principally talking about people and ultimately God, but relationships. You will know nothing about the authentic and true nature of someone until you love them. And in loving them, you again start in that process of engagement, that process of engagement that leads to community. And then that process of community that leads to a sense of reality. And that's what we're called to. So where Gabriel Marcel is being a gift to us in our time, and this kind of takes me a little bit beyond the program, I'm sorry, beyond the phone call, is that he focuses on making things incarnate, making things concrete, making things deeply personal, relational. And this is where that phrase existential comes up. Existential means more than just deeply felt, but rather the dimension of our own existence is more than a mere fact. You heard me say that about personality, right? He gets into this, Gabriel Marcel does, in many of his works. He talks about creative fidelity. Creative fidelity is much more than just, oh, I am faithfully following the rules, I'm faithfully accepting the beliefs, and I'm implementing those in such a way that I'm performing these deeds and producing this work. He focuses more on the process of art. And what he'll identify there, which he then connects to our lives, is that in the process of art, you have an artist who's not only attempting to envision, and by envision, we tend to think of invent, imagine, create from the standpoint of I'm going to come up with this on my own, right? So when it comes to the concept of vision, I'm the one who's deciding what that vision will be, what that work of art will be. He says that that's really counter to and only in a lopsided way identifies the creative process of the artist. Or the art, like for instance, the author, the playwright. These would be things that would have been very much at home for Gabriel Marcel. But he says that if you take a look at, for instance, the way that a fiction writer imagines a person in the plot, one of the heroes, or you know, an antagonist, he'll begin to imagine them interacting in certain ways, and then before you know it, there's a way in which they take on a life of their own, and he is now, or she, is now the receiver rather than the inventor. He or she is the witness to something that is happening that they are open to watch, to have happen. And so he talks about creative fidelity as the process by which we are engaging in and interacting with our own lives. But we also are going to watch the way that God interacts with our lives. And he begins to do things and bring things to us that we never imagined, we never envisioned, but we get to receive, we get to discern. And so that's the ultimate context. I don't have really enough time to get into all of it, but the ultimate context for the person who is on the way, the homo viator, requires, and again, this is the language of Gabriel Marcel, a transcendent context, a context that goes beyond the here and the now. And that's where we get this idea that, oh, the transcendent context for the human being who comes to realize, I'm alive, I'm in this world, I'm here with you, we're moving forward together, is that we have come from somewhere and that we are going to somewhere. So that having come from and that heading towards are the transcendent dimension of this journey that we're on. And so that's God, our creator, who's launched us into existence to journey through until we come home to be with Him. I hope and pray that this was a blessing. God bless you. Join me on Monday.